Drishtaha, have been seen practically. Maya, by me. Divi, in the higher planetary systems. Vibho, O my Lord. Akila, all. Vishnyapanam, of the chiefs of different states or planets. Ayuhu, the duration of life. Shriyaha, the opulences. Vibhavaha, glory's influence. Ichyati, desire. Yan, all of which. Jana ayam, these people in general. Yay, all of which. Duration of life, opulence, etc. Asmat pituhu, of our father Haranyakashipu. Kupitakasa, by his critical laughing when angry. Vijrimbita, being expanded. Bru, of the eyebrows. Vispurjitena, simply by the feature. Lulitaha, pulled down or finished. Saha, he my father. Tu, but. Te, by you. Nirastaha, completely vanquished. So translation. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. But I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. You can repeat. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry, and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Within this material world, one should understand by practical experience the value of material opulence, longevity, and influence. We have actual experience that even on this planet there have been many great politicians and military commanders like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhash Chandra Bose, and Gandhi. But as soon as their lives were finished, their popularity, influence, and everything else was finished also. Prahlad Maharaj formally gathered the same experience by seeing the activities of Haranyakashipu, his great father. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this material world, not even that which is powerful, opulent, or influential, can endure. At any time such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great. Since the Supreme Great demands sarva dharmam purishyaja mam ekam sharanam braja, Every intelligent man must agree to this proposal. One must surrender unto the Lord to be saved from the wheel of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. So, Trishtamaya devi vibho kila jishnapanam ayu shriyo vibhava kichati anjano yam yesmat pitu kupita hasa vijumbita bru vishpurjite nululita satute nidastaha. So, Om Meghanath Timirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're in this particular verse in purport. One of the problems, considering the heavenly planets as being pointed out, heavenly planets or having supremacy, and that problem is the time factor. As Krishna states in the Gita, Kalo Asmi, and Mrityu Sarva Parashchaham, I am all devouring death and I am time. And when Arjuna was perceiving the universal form, one of the things he saw in the universal form was that everyone was entering into the mouths of the universal form. There were varied mouths and opulences, and it was just like moths, the description given it, entering into the mouths of the universal form and being devoured by the universal form. Of course, the universal form is a non-vegetarian form of the Lord. So we do not worship the universal form. Actually, the devotees are not attracted to the universal form, but the universal form conceptions, of which there are quite a few, can help one in an immature state before one comes to Krishna consciousness. In other words, the appreciation how God is everything. So this time factor, one of the main topics of the Gita also is the time factor, devours everything. Kalena sarvacha gavira rangasa. It is very deep, and everything is taken away by the time factor. So that's one of the problems in the heavenly planets. I'll talk about another problem in a second. Of course, also Krishna says in the Gita, Shine punya marcha lokam vishanti, that people go up to the heavenly planets, and then guess what happens when their good karma runs out? They come back down. And one of the ways you know your good karma is running out when you're in the heavenly planets is your garland starts to fade. You understand? They're wearing garlands there, garlands of nice flowers, not just these imitation flowers that come from Colombia. These are imitations. I hate to tell you. And even the roses are not real roses anymore. They're bred, so they look nicely, but they smell, don't have any smell. Because if they had smell, the roses would not stay very long. Did you know that? Because when the rose has smell, that's the oil coming out of the rose. And that oil causes the rose to actually decompose very, very quickly. So the roses you see here, the offering of Prabhupada, are not actual roses. As they say, it smells like a rose, it must be a rose, but it's not a rose. It's just like they breed all these things, so they look good, like the vegetables in the supermarket. They have them so they look good. They throw out vegetables, even though they're good, that don't look so good, because people are very much concerned with externals. Anyway, getting back to the heavenly planets, when you're ready to go, your garland starts to fade, and then Chane Punya Marchi Lokam Vishanti. So you come back down to the earth when your good karma runs out. And one way to keep good karma while you're there is to have someone, one of your offspring or your great-grandson, perform pinda ceremony, and they're able to keep paying the bills for you in the heavenly planet. So anyway, when it runs out, you come back to the earth planet. That's one problem. But I think even a greater problem is that life there is quite miserable. Now, that may come as a surprise to you, because basically nobody smells bad there. There's no need of deodorant. Nobody gets sick there. There's no need of doctors. Just like here on this earth planet, you have to have doctors and hospitals basically everywhere. I mean, even a little tiny city of Hillsborough, not city, but town of Hillsborough, you know, there's a office for Duke, there's an office for UNC, and then there's a big UNC hospital here, because everybody's getting sick. Prabhupada said the more hospitals you open up, the more patients there'll be to fill the hospital. It's like the living entities are everywhere in the material world, so everywhere you have a planet, there's full of living entities who are suffering their karma. So in the heavenly planets, there's none of the sickness, and there's no little crying babies there. For those of you attracted to little babies, they ain't there in the heavenly planets. Because in the heavenly planets, you know, people have children if they decide. They don't have to have children even after having illicit connection. And even there's heavenly prostitutes, the apsaras. The children are not babies when they're born. They're full grown. You understand? So those of you ladies who like cute little babies, don't go to the heavenly planets, because you won't see any cute little babies there. So only full-grown men and women. And anyway, so it's quite a pleasant place from a material perspective. However, because there's more material opulence there, there is also more anxiety. Because the more you have, the more anxiety you have about protecting it. If you don't have anything, just like we're telling the story on Sunday about the Avadhuta Brahman, right? Some of you were there for that. And so the Avadhuta Brahman basically didn't have anything. So he had no anxiety. And that was one of the comments Maharaj Yadu made. He said, you know, you're looking so happy in anxiety. You don't have a job or anything like that. What are you doing? How do you maintain yourself? Because basically he was depending on Krishna. Nityo nichanam chaitanas chaitanam eko bahonam yobadadati. Come on. So in the heavenly planets, of course, they don't have to have a job. I understand that. Although, you know, there are treasurers and things like that, like Kuvera. But there's anxiety because they have so much and they're worried, first of all, the good karma running out. Second of all, someone may even take away their wife there. I mean, just like I was reading the other day in the Bhagavatam, the story about, you know, Brihaspati has had a nice wife. And guess what? His wife was like taken by Soma, the moon god. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that someone steals your wife? If you like her, of course. You know, otherwise you may say, you know, take my wife, yes, take her. But anyway, so, but can you imagine that? On the heavenly planets? It's just like unbelievable that people are, you know, getting lusty, stealing other people's wives. And even when in that fight, you know, between Soma and Brihaspati, the demons took the part of Soma. This is a story in the Bhagavatam. And the demigods were fighting the demons because of the fight between two demigods. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So you have so many problems like that. And then Indra, you know, you'd think he would be satisfied just with all these apsaras up there. You know, they're quite beautiful girls or whatever. And you think he would be satisfied. But then he goes after Ahalya, who is Gautama Rishi's wife, gets cursed as a result of that. And there's so many stories about Indra doing things like that. So there's really no satisfaction or peace. Because without peace, shanti, then there's no happiness. Of course, shanti in and of itself doesn't give you happiness. Just like you go to some Indian programs and they're chanting, what? Om shanti, shanti, shanti. You know, we don't chant Om shanti, shanti. We chant Om Hare Krishna, like that, or Om Bhakti, Bhakti, Bhakti. So, but shanti is a necessary ingredient, like, of course, the peace, that means peace. But people don't understand the peace formula is Bhoktoram Jagatapsam, Sarvaloka Maheshram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam,
Gatva Vam Shanti Mrityate, Gita 5:29, that to understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, not you. In the heavenly planets, you're thinking, wow, whoopee, I'm the enjoyer here. Bhaktaram Jagat Tapasam, and he's the recipient of all the austerity. He's the friend of all living. And these are the requirements to be peaceful. But generally in the heavenly planets, it's not like that. I mean, you're attacked by the demons. Another story that comes to mind is, you know, once upon a time, of course, Indra, as I mentioned before, Indra has his problems. So Indra had to, he killed Ritrasura, and as a result, he had to come down to the earth planet, take shelter within a stem of a flower, and a lotus flower in the water. And so while he was gone, someone had to take care of his service, his duties. And so that person was a very pious, elevated king before he came to the heavenly planets. His name was Nahusha. Famous story. So Nahusha took it, and everyone was enthusiastic, and he said to the other demigods that actually, if you want me to take this position, you'll have to give me all your power. Basically, you know, empower me, or give me all your power, make me strong that no one can defeat me. Okay, and the demigods agreed, you know, we need someone to take over the position. Temple president has to go on vacation for some time, so someone has to take over the position. So they gave him the power, they empowered him. So, as we know, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. So he had really absolute power over the demigods, and he was doing a good job. But after some time, he was thinking, you know, I have this power, but there's one lady I would like to have. And that lady was Indra's wife, whose name, incidentally, is Sachi. So he thought, I want to have Sachi. And so he started to go after Sachi. You know, Indra's gone, you know, here, you know, I'm powerful. Please accept me. It's just uncontrolled senses. Adanda gopir vishitam tamishram. So he had uncontrolled senses. We say that makes one unhappy. It's interesting. You know, people, we were talking yesterday to devotees about controlling the tongue, right? Tongue. Like that example we gave on Sunday about the fish. You know, the fish is caught because the fish has uncontrolled tongue. It eats a worm, swallows the hook, gets roped in. So, you know, I'm very concerned about devotees controlling their tongues, because if they don't control their tongues, then not only will all the other senses go out of control, but their health will be severely compromised. So, but people can't control the tongue. It's just unbelievable. Even though it's causing them to die. You know, I know people who were told that unless you stop eating a particular thing, you're going to die. And they said, I can't. And they died. Unbelievable. Isn't it? It's unbelievable how strong these senses are. So, anyway. So getting back to the point. So this Nahusha, he was chasing after Sachi. And Sachi was really worried. You know, here's this great, powerful king. Oh, you're leaving. You don't like this story. It's interfering with your enjoyment. So he was he was chasing after this king, after this girl, Sachi, and he was a great king. And Sachi got worried, you know, because she's a chaste lady. She's considered one of the chaste ladies. Like if you ever do a marriage sacrifice, she's one of the Indra, Sachi, you know, is one of the combinations. Even Ravana and Mandodari are considered, Mandodari is considered one of the chaste ladies too. So she got really upset, went to Brihaspati, said, save me! And Brihaspati said, basically, he's so powerful, you know, it's going to be, even I don't have the power to save you. But here's the plan. If you want to be saved, Just send a message to Nehusha and tell him that you'll be happy to accept him. But he has to come, excuse me, he has to come to see you riding on an appropriate palanquin. And that palanquin has to be carried by the Sapta Rishis. You know, the great, great, great sages like Agastya, people like that, and Vasishta, etc. So she sent the message to this Nehusha. Nehusha gets the message and said, okay. And he calls the seven sages, okay, you got to carry me. So while he's being carried by the Sapta Rishis to see Sachi, he gets a little disturbed and kicks Agastya Muni. This is actually in plan of Brihaspati. I mean, just seeing how much misery is there on the heavenly planets, or how much anxiety is there. Lust causes you anxiety. I mean, if you look at the face of a lusty person, is he just like happy? No. It's just like, it's ignorance. Ignorance is misery from the beginning to the end. At least the passion you have, happiness in the beginning and poison at the end. And in goodness, you have, you know, a little difficulty in the beginning, then happiness at the end. In Krishna consciousness, you get happiness all the time. Kevala Nandakanda. So anyway, so he kicked, being agitated with sex desire, obviously, he kicked Agastya Muni. Agastya Muni said, you rascal, I curse you to become a snake. And so at that particular juncture, Nehusha sort of had a wake-up call. He was thinking, oh my God, a snake, please forgive me, please forgive me. And Agastya Muni said, there's no way I can retract a curse. You hear this all the time. But you will later on get the blessing of Yudhisthira Maharaj, and then you can come back to the heavenly planets. So later on, he becomes this serpent, not just the snake, a big serpent. And this serpent, basically in the beginning, is able to enwrap or entrap Bhimsen. And Bhimsen fights. And the serpent, of course, has the benediction that whoever, whatever strength someone uses against him, that strength he gets double or something like that. So even Bhimsen is not able to escape from the serpent Nehusha. But Yudhisthira is able to have a discussion with this. This is in the Mahabharata story. And the serpent leaves his body, goes back to heaven. So the main point I'm making is that in the heavenly planets, there's no happiness, although people are thinking that there's happiness, because the happiness is based upon sense enjoyment, and happiness based on sense enjoyment causes you anxiety, distress, lust, and all these other things, you know, kamesha, kravesha, rajaguna, samudava. So it causes you all these other things that don't give you happiness. So what actually gives you happiness? And so the happiness, the real happiness, is from within. It's not external. The real happiness is not the contact of the senses with the sense objects. The real happiness is bhakti, or devotion, or love of Krishna. And that can be achieved very, very easily by following the process of Krishna consciousness. So anyway, so Prahlad Maharaj is realizing this, having observed his father, and also having observed the people who go to the higher planetary systems for all these different amenities, long duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. So therefore he understands the importance of taking up devotional service. Komara macharet pragyo dharmam bhagavatam iha durlabham manasa janma tarap dhruvam arthadam, from the very beginning of life. Just like we have our school to train up the children in the importance of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, because that's what will make you happy. That's my experience. The only thing that makes me happy is Bhakti, which means pleasing Krishna and pleasing Prabhupada. That's it. You know, other things, you know, may open up big temples, pleasing the deities, of course, that's Krishna. But, you know, you may have so much opulence, or you may have so many electronic gadgets, and it just, you don't get happy from these things. Just like, you know, electronic gadget, you become happy the first 5 minutes when you get it. But then after a while, it's a burden. It's a burden. So, anyway. So on that happy note, so any questions or comments? Yeah.
I'm curious about what you were speaking about, you know, absolute power corrupts everything.
Yeah. It depends on how pure you are. If you're completely pure, you can have absolute power like Prabhupada did. And there's no corruption. But if you're not so pure, you can just get married. And you have some power over your wife, your husband, and just like, you become like a monster. You know, so anytime we have power over people or power over objects, we have to really concentrate. And as soon as we lose sight that Krishna is the enjoyer of the relationship, Krishna is the enjoyer of, you know, the possessions that he may have lent to me in the time being, Krishna is the enjoyer of my activities, Krishna is the enjoyer even of taking prasadam. We have to take prasadam not in an enjoying personal enjoying spirit, but to give enjoyment to Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. That's interesting. In the name of Mahaprasadam, many stalwarts have fallen down. That means if you have that enjoyment, you're supposed to enjoy Krishna. You're supposed to give Krishna enjoyment, not to enjoy Krishna. And of course, there's that typical story I always tell, where myself and Rina Nandamars were traveling around America and following Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said to us, don't you understand, you're not supposed to enjoy the spiritual master. You're supposed to serve the spiritual master. So as long as we have this enjoying spirit, that's an exploitative mood, even relationship to Krishna. So when you're taking prasadam, it should be, as we say in the prasadam prayer, in love, call out and glorify Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Help us control the senses. You know, everything is connected to pleasing Krishna. Not like, you know, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot. You know, now we can enjoy, let me dive into this place. I mean, of course, in the beginning, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, yeah, all right. You need a little purification. But at the end, or a lot of purification, we should be doing everything to please Krishna. Eating to please Krishna. Sleeping to please Krishna. So we can have the energy to serve Krishna the next day. So when we understand this one verse, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, Krishna is the enjoyer, Bhokta, Bhogi. You know, that's the same word, Bhogi, Bhokta. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. Everything we do, we should be thinking, offering with love, whatever you do. Yat karoshi, yat ajnashi, yat jahoshi, dadasi, yat yata tapashashi, konti yat tatkur, shwabhranarpanam. Everything we do should be done as an offering to Krishna, out of love. You know, Krishna, please accept this. And of course, that's a higher stage. It's a pretty high stage. And that way, our minds will be peaceful. Otherwise, you know, when our mind is agitated, either due to lust or anxiety or fear, how can we be happy? Krishna wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be unhappy. So, any other questions? Yeah.
The demigods, they are in the heavenly planet, they are engaged in service.
Yes.
So, some of them, I mean, according to their mentality, some of them make enough spiritual advancement to go back to Yamaraj?
Oh, yeah, Yamaraj certainly does. So, yes, it's like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the byproducts of bhakti can actually be a source of anarthas, unless one's careful. And we've seen this, even in ISKCON, that, you know, people get some position power, and it really changes them. It changes them, and they succumb to the anarthas that come because of that position or power. You know, so the demigods, it can happen to them too if they're not careful. So one has to be extremely careful. Like Prabhupada said, devotional service is like a razor's edge. One has to be very careful because as you advance, people will respect you or you'll get some position. And then if you misuse that position, it'll be like Nahusha, Punamushika Bhava. You know, again, go back to whatever you were before. So one has to always understand what another verse is. Ishavasha midam saravam yakancha jagajam jagat tenajiktena bunjira magrutha kashasvidanam. Everything is only controlled by the Supreme Lord, and one is given a specific quota, but it's actually that quota is being lent to you by the Lord. It's meant for His pleasure. If Krishna gives you a car, it's meant for His pleasure. If Krishna gives you anything, you know, it's meant for His pleasure. This mobile phone is meant for His pleasure. Yeah.
Also, when you were speaking about the enjoying mood, like you said in the beginning, sometimes in the beginning lasts a long time.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like, you know, I see it. It's that the quote-unquote devotees, you know, like aspiring devotees, want to enjoy Krishna.
Yeah, that's okay in the beginning.
Yeah, but it lasts and lasts and lasts. But that mentality, even if there is Krishna there, will that bring them to the heavenly planet instead of the spiritual world?
At least to Vaikuntha, most to Vaikuntha. Of course, in Vaikuntha, they were also trying to please Krishna. Yeah. So, yeah, it's heavenly planets, yeah. Heavenly planets, that's the heavenly planets type of mood. That's the heavenly planets type of mood.
Yeah.
Enjoying. But just like the gopis, that, you know, you may crush me by your embrace, Krishna, you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, you're completely free to do anything and everything, and you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally.